You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
Today,
Brevard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
There's something going on in our society and among church people where we know we have a withered hand, but we conceal it. Yet God requires some vulnerability. Instead of you trying to look like you got it all together, because you can hide the withered hand in your pocket or in your cloak, and you can conceal it from everybody else. But if you really want to be delivered, can you stretch it out?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Conflict, Commissioning, and Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5.
The Bible says you got a religious rite in the church that says something like you shouldn't heal somebody on the Sabbath day. So Jesus, the Bible said, he said to the man which with the withered hand, look what he says first, stand forth or stand up. Before he deals with any problem that you have, can you just stand up? Some of us are sitting in the weakness, but God wants you to stand in the weakness. Some of us are laying in the weakness, and God says, stand forth. Some of us are cowering in the weakness or the withered side, but God says, stand up. Then he begins to speak to the man, not even dealing with him. He's talking to the congregation. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? The rhetorical answer is yes. Or to do evil. So if you had before you evil or good, which one are you going to choose on the Sabbath day? Come on, talk to me. So everybody in the room would say, if evil or good is set before me on the Sabbath day, even though it's Sabbath and it's holy, should we do evil or should we do good? We're all going to say we should do good. He goes further. Should we save life or kill? It's rhetorical. Which one would you choose? We're going to save life. So if you can save a woman that's walking across the street and a truck is coming and you can snatch her out of the way, would you save her or push her in before the push her in front of the truck to kill her? You're going, even if she was an enemy, you're going to snatch her out of way, harm's way. Can the church say amen? Amen. This is what God is saying to you. I'm not giving you a complicated choice. It's either good or evil. It's either salvation or devastation or damnation. Which one are you going to do? We're going to move towards salvation. Then he says something to the man. He's not talking to the congregation. And when he had looked at them, in other words, after he makes this appeal and gives them a question, the scripture says he looked at them with anger. And some people don't understand. This is why I love Mark. He describes the emotional state, not of people, but of God. In other words, God comes to church too. Does he look at you with anger? Now, a lot of people say, no, God is never angry, but you don't know Bible. If you got a bad attitude, he's looking at you like, yeah, that's right. What's wrong with you? I've been so good to you and you want to enter into my house with that attitude? Now here's the caveat. Some people that got an attitude say, well, I just won't come. He know where you're at too. You can be on a bar stool. He'll find you there. So you can't escape God. Your little attitude ain't going to stop him from finding you. But when you come to the house of God, he shouldn't have to look at you angrily. Like I said, there's a facade. You got a beautiful chimney that has stone all around it, but the stone is cracked. And a lot of people have a facade. We look whole, But if you just let a little sun get there, a wind blow sideways, you'll see that there's cracks in the stone. Jesus can see it. The Bible says he looked with anger, being grieved for their hardness of hearts. Look at it. You should be more pliable. You should be able to forgive. You should be able to get over that. You've come too far, and I forgave you of much. Why would you hold them by the throat when I forgave you? And a lot of people are like that. We forget that God delivered us. We forget it, man. One of the things I love about my biological oldest brother is that he's come through hell and high water. And I know sometimes he may be a little ashamed of it, but he's reconciled it. Now it is not him holding his head down, it is him lifting his head up and smiling. I asked our family barber, I said, I'm in my 50s, and it was a few years ago. I said, I'm in my 50s. It was a few years ago. I said, I'm in my 50s. I've been around the world. I've been on Mount Fuji. I've gone to Sinai. I went down the Sinai Peninsula and climbed the mountain. I've visited the Sea of Galilee. I've been down in Honduras twice. I've gone to Jamaica maybe 11 times. I've been to Japan, to Hawaii. I've gone to Okinawa twice. I've been in Alaska 4 times. I've been to a place called Diego Garcia. I've been in the intercontinental United States. I've been in many of the states here. The ministry has taken me to many places. I've gone to Paris twice. That was unusual. A lot of arrogance in Paris. A lot of people like the perfume, but it comes out of Africa. But Paris, man, listen, y'all need to travel, get some knowledge. Ooh, I love my Paris. Ooh, but it comes all out of Africa. I've been to Africa, and it made me cry twice. It was unusual. Unusual, just the wealth and the experience of hanging around other peoples that don't look like you and that speak another language. And you see businessmen and people that are flowing and flying planes, not just Tarzan and the apes. It'll mess you up, man, and just really open your mind to how systems have been put in the world to keep you from working with each other here. And it just blew me away. And so I was explaining that to the barber, and he was listening to me. I said, but while I travel all around the world, you stood at this one chair cutting hair. Who do you remember most out of all the kids you've cut? And he's in his 80s. He was in his 70s at the time. Right off the top of his head, he said, your oldest brother. And a guy named Fred Harvey, who is my age. He said, I remember the two. So it intrigued me. I said, what do you mean? Why Nick? Why Junior? He said, when your daddy brought you all to the barbershop the first time, he said Nick was fluffy. And he was bright skinned. And he had thick hair. Like your mama didn't cut it. It was thick. And when he brought him in, he sat him in the chair. He said, and he was smiling. And everybody was talking about how beautiful the baby looked. And he was looking around smiling. He said, and I tilted his head down because I was going to cut his hair. And he was still looking at everybody like that, smiling. Just like this. And it touched me so deep because that's his nature now. And life tried to tilt his head down. Life tried to tilt his head down. Drugs tried to tilt his head down. Setbacks tried to tilt his head down. But God is lifting his head up. And And it all happened in the house of God. Not a rehab. Not a rehab. He's a living miracle. If you ever look for one, it's sitting right in the midst of us. I don't care where you are today. God can lift up your head. Let me prophesy. Be lifted up. Hallelujah. Be everlasting door. Be lifted up. Hung down heads. Be lifted up. Everlasting doors. Let the King come through the lift. Who is the King of glory? It all happens in the sanctuary. The barber says, I've cut thousands of heads, but I remember that. He didn't say, I remember you, Bootsy. He said, I remember your brother. And we got to learn how to let God praise other people. When your name isn't called, it doesn't mean that you're left out. It just may not be your moment. It made me cry. And I think we got brothers and sisters whose life and people in this room has tried to keep your head down. Life has tried to point it down and you're still trying to lift your eye. But I'm prophesying today, if you stay in the house of the Lord, if you just stay in the house, there's an anointing that's going to cause your head to lift again. When he looked around with anger because he was grieved over the hardness of the heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. And the hand was restored. Whole as the other. There's something going on in our society and among church people where we know we have a withered hand, but we conceal it. Yet God requires some vulnerability. Instead of you trying to look like you got it all together, because you can hide the withered hand in your pocket or in your cloak, and you can conceal it from everybody else. But if you really want to be delivered, can you stretch it out? Can you say, I'm tired of playing the game? And I'm going to pick up the challenge at his command. Stretch forth thine hand. And I say to you, stretch forth that withered part of your life. Stretch forth that failed relationship. Stretch forth the thing that made you curl up and contract. Stretch forth the thing that hurt you the most and lay it out in the presence of God, and it shall be restored whole as the other. God says there's an anointing to turn it around, but I require for you to stretch it out and stop trying to fake it until you make it. You don't have to do that when you're with Jesus. He can heal you wholly. Can somebody say amen? Amen. In this wonderful book, in this chapter, Jesus, undeterred by opposition, and I'm praying we will get there too. They're still coming in. I see it. Hallelujah. They're still coming in. Undeterred by opposition and misunderstanding, he deals with conflicts and challenges. He breaks religious norms by healing someone that had a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And I want to say to leaders that God is a God of protocol, but sometimes he would challenge it to get his work done. And I'm a man of protocol, but sometimes my exactness concerning protocol has made me blind to the move of the Spirit. The wind blows as it wills. I'm a person of order. And so when we're transitioning, I'm a person of order. That means I can recognize disorder. I can smell it a mile away. But sometimes that protocol can block the move of the wind. And we got to be open to God. Now, a lot of times when it comes to chaos, or if I'm preaching and someone just gets up and starts speaking in tongues, you may see me tell them to sit down. Well, Bishop, the Holy Ghost moved upon me. Listen, that's disorder. Do you have an interpretation for it? No, I just had a ra-ba-ba-ba. Well, then you better sit down quickly. So we're not talking about that kind of thing. Anybody in the midst of the sanctuary that tries to draw attention to themselves takes away from God. That's how I judge a situation. If it's God, you're not trying to draw attention to yourself. And you've all been in church services. Well, everybody's dancing. Dance all night. You know, and I know a lot of you want that. And we're going to release that, okay? We're going to give it to you, you know, let you have your dance so you can spin and do what all you want to do. Okay, we're going to do it. Come on, hit it for me. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, that's it. I know. And you've all been in church services when everybody's dancing. And then as soon as it died down, you know, you're going to have somebody, they're going to start shouting. They never shouted while everybody's shouting, right? They didn't feel the Spirit while we're all dancing. It's when everything is calming down and the preacher get up, you know, ow, they go, ow. Or the mother is on the cane. She come in on the cane. But in that moment, she throw the cane down, come down the aisle dancing, and everybody turns and points at mother. Look at her. Look at, oh my God. This is what I'm talking about that I come against. Because now you're drawing attention to yourself. And if God delivered you to dance all the way here, spin. All the way back to your seat, you pick up your cane then and sit down. I got a problem with that. As long as it doesn't draw attention to you, we can praise. Or you want to sit up there and sling your hair. I had a vision of a person coming in the midst of us and was slinging hair like this, singing. But it was a little awkward. At first they said, man, that's the move of the Spirit, but it was whipping. Now everybody turns from worship and they're watching the person sling their hair. And something strange came from it. So one of the reasons why I have protocol, because I believe this region was plagued with that. And one of the things that fight truth is falsity. So as we're implementing truth in the region, I had to make sure, not that we lock things down, but there's order. But I do believe God wants me to be sensitive to his Spirit. And sometimes we just need to dance. I wanted y'all to understand why I move the way I move. I ain't trying to stop you from ever having your Holy Ghost shout. But if you've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt, and you still mean, what did it do? What good did it do? You won't speak to me, but you're speaking in tongues and shouting. If I shouted, and I wish I had the liberty to do that, and in the midst of you, and God really hit me like that, I would come up different. Because I wouldn't play, man. I don't fall out in the spirit because everybody falls out. But if God touched me and I fell out, oh, when I get up, oh my God. Because he got to really make me fall. Cynthia Stenning fell out. She grabbed the microphone here on a Sunday and collapsed here. And I put her back up again. Kathy was leading praise here last year. And in the midst of the service, fell out. Or something happened and she fell. And God uses those moments to show you resilience. She got back up and kept singing. Y'all understand? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You hold it down no matter what happens. If I fell off this platform, I would be embarrassed, but you'll see me grab the mic and continue. Hopefully somebody's going to help me. Y'all understand? When I was a teenager, I was a guitar player, and I was in a tent revival, and my chair was too far on the back of the stage. I was in a tent revival, but I could play like B.B. King. And I could play, like really play. And so I was young, but I could play. And it was always serious like that. In my high school years, I took my guitar with me to school every day, to every class. When I came in the gym, they said, "Boots, say, play us a song." And I played Freak Out. Then I played for them. I'm telling you the real deal. Boop said, "Play us a song," and I did it. Am I telling the truth? Y'all don't know me, you know what I'm saying? You don't know me. I never said a lot, but I was, listen, I was serious, man. And I was playing for this revival, this evangelist, and my chair was on the back of the stage, and it was too close to the edge. And I leaned back a little bit, and I fell off the stage, man. And my feet was in the air, and I was embarrassed, but I was still holding my guitar. And I got up. Everybody was laughing, man. I put my chair back on the stage and got up on the stage, you know, real calm. I didn't run out. And the preacher stopped everything. He said, "Y'all laughing." Then he turned to me and said, "You're going to have a big fall in your life." I wish he wouldn't have said that. I just wish he said, "There's going to be setbacks in your life." He told me I was going to fall. He did. It haunted me for years. And guess what I did? He said, "But you're going to rise up with power." Amen. And everything that man said came to pass. And sometimes God will allow you to go through stuff, not for your abashment, your embarrassment, but he's going to raise you up in the midst of it, right in his house. Some of you are ashamed. I'm telling you what your pastor went through, so you won't run out crying and screaming what you can't handle. He let me go through these things, so those of you that got your feet in the air and your guitar still held and your back is on the floor, you'll get up anyway. And for those of you where life is trying to tilt your head down, keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up. Don't let life make you look down. Keep your eyes up. God will bring you out. But it happens in his house. Not out in the world. In the house of God. And you let him be God. And he'll work it out. Because there are many in the house that are in the third chapter of Mark that has a withered hand. But you hide it. Every week you hide it. You know you have a weakness, but you won't stretch it out. If I call for an altar call and say, "Stretch it out," you'll rather go and sit in that seat and go home and unwrap it and look at it. And wish 1,000 times that you got it healed. when God is calling for it. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke you. I rebuke your pride. And the next time the Holy Ghost calls for your withered hand, I command you in the name of Jesus to stretch it out and stop playing with your maladies. You stretch it out and make it whole. God will make it whole just like the other. There will be no differentiation. I don't care if you had a failed business. Stretch out that withered hand. God says, I'll make it whole. I don't care how many times you were hurt. Stretch it out and God will heal you. I don't care how many times you've been divorced or forsaken. If you get into his presence and stretch out the withered hand, he will make it whole. In the name of Jesus, I command it. Get off of your high horse and enter into his gates, not just to be saved, but to be healed.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Conflict, Commissioning, and Covenant, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th, and are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future.
Are you a single mom feeling overwhelmed and in need of a break? Join Coalition for Better Families on Saturday, December 7th at 10:30 a.m. for a rejuvenating day designed to pamper, inspire, and empower single moms. Limited spots are available, so scan the QR code in the lobby or register online or in the TR app. Oh, and childcare is provided. Register now.
Calling all men, mark your calendar for Legatist 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Take advantage of the combo package and order your t-shirt and polo. You do not want to miss this experience, so save the dates and schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Joy to